Welcome to Get Gig Ready. If you're a music maker, emerging or early in your career, or even a veteran looking to brush up on the basics, we're here to get you close to some amazing local talent to help amp up your skills. Get Gig Ready is presented by City of Ryde, Lane Cove Council, the Live Music Office, Music New South Wales, and 2SER, with support from Macquarie University. Today I'm joined by Tamsin, a wonderful local singer-songwriter who has just won the international songwriting competition for her song SOS, which she produced with Chris Arnott. Now, you won the 2020 version of this competition, but just found out about it, right?
The 2020 competition edition, however, they only announce it like midway through 2021. So
yeah. One of those competitions. Yeah, I guess the thing I wanted to start talking about is that the international songwriting competition has artists from all around the world. It's incredibly competitive, and you took out an award in the unpublished category with your track SOS. And I wanted to ask, you know, how was that process for you? You know, was there extra preparation for yourself putting a song together to submit to that competition? Or was it just a matter of like picking a song you were working on and choosing the best? How did that come about?
It's a bit of a story, but I tend to write music weekly. I do a lot of songwriting. I've got, I think, about 60, 70 demos now in the past, I think, 2.5 years that I've been writing. And I was writing a lot of music with a whole bunch of different producers, but in particular, SOS was written with Chris Arnott.
Yeah.
And I was preparing for my next release this year and held an A&R session with a few musician friends, and they had all voted and said that SOS was their favorite song. From there, we were planning on releasing SOS, things like that, and I had heard from a friend about the international songwriting competition, and I kind of went, okay, I'll submit a few songs, see where it goes, might as well. So I chucked in the draft for SOS. So pretty much just the demo of SOS. We hadn't really re-recorded final vocals. We hadn't finished most of the production. We just chucked it in and hoped for the best. And then a few months later, I got an email saying I was a semi-finalist and then a finalist and then the winner of the unpublished category, which was unreal. We didn't expect it whatsoever, but I mean, it's a great surprise.
Yeah, I mean, and it's got to feel awesome winning it on something that was unfinished, because it means that the songwriting shines despite the production, which is so sick.
Yeah, it was really surprising, especially when I was like, wait a second, we submitted this at like the very, very beginning of the year. So I don't think we actually finished the song. So I had to go into my account and actually realize that no, we hadn't finished it. It was just a demo.
Yeah, no, that's really cool. I guess the other thing I wanted to touch on, you worked with Chris Arnott on SOS itself. And, you know, we first got in touch through Jack Rogers, who's been on the show earlier this season. So it seems like collaboration is a big part of the music you do. And there's all sorts of group work that you've done in the past. You also performed on The Voice as a choir singer. So it's just collaboration front to back. You know, what does collaboration on that level help you do with your career as a musician?
Well, collaborations are great. I've done music courses and things like that, and everywhere I've been, the biggest tip I've gotten is make as many contacts in the industry as possible, because maybe you might make a friend with someone that's maybe quite small on social media, things like that currently, but you guys can grow together. Say one of the tips I got was when you collaborate with someone, they can be on your level, a little bit higher, things like that. Either way, both of you get something out of it. But the idea is as many contacts as you get, the better it is. Because if I'm, say, singing with Sister, I then have, say, 20 people in which I know in the industry. Those 20 people might know 20 more people. I then have warm touches to new people in the industry, which makes it absolutely amazing. And Australia is a really, really small market in comparison to the USA and things like that.
Yeah.
It's really good when you get as many contacts, you feel like you know everyone in the country that's a musician.
Totally. I mean, that's the craziest thing getting into any arts career here in Australia is you're suddenly like so much closer to people that you've respected for all of your life. And you're like, wait, they're only that far away from me? That's crazy.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's absolutely insane how tiny the industry is, but I guess it does really feel like a little bit of a family, to be honest though.
Yeah. It definitely can. I think the other thing that was fun that you kind of touched on in there, the idea of building all of those connections, even with people at your level, because I sometimes hear, you know, if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. Example applied, but I think music and arts is kind of, as you suggest, not the case, because you really can help bring up those around you. And the creative side of collaboration as well is super important, because not only do you have those connections that you're talking about, but you have, as you were mentioning with the track SOS, have that feedback from the people around you for the things that you put together.
Yeah, well, the thing is, being a musician, as I said, it's predominantly about contacts. There's so many people out there with so much talent, and they might only have 50 followers on Instagram or something. So at the end of the day, just because you have 50,000 followers on Instagram or subscribers on YouTube, there may be someone that has not even half of what you have, and they might be more talented than you at the end of the day. It's just a matter of getting reach and, to be honest, a little bit of just getting lucky at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think the other thing that's talking about social media there, you have a dance competition that you did for SOS to kind of promote a little bit, getting people to do a bit of choreography. I haven't submitted mine yet, I'll confess. I guess, how important to you is social media as a promotion tool? Because I think a lot of people, especially only being able to communicate over social media over the past year, has kind of jaded them to it a bit. You know, how do you feel about using it as a platform to get in contact with people even after the past year of experience?
Everyone's in lockdown now. Everyone's on social media. So that does help us musicians and small business owners and everyone using social media to try and promote their products and things like that. However, I also see social media as such an influential tool as well for all of my followers, because my target audience is actually teenagers. So I know all of them are living most of their life on social media. So anything I say, do is seen and projected out there, and it's a great platform to get what you want to say out there.
That's really interesting. You know, I guess with a teenage audience, do you feel any level of responsibility, like as a role model, you know, because there was always, you know, the big panic whenever a pop star suddenly grows up, like with, you know, Miley Cyrus and Ariana Grande and all that sort of stuff. You know, do you feel that extra pressure having a younger audience?
I don't know, to be honest. I don't feel... There's a bit of pressure when it comes to like releasing big projects and things like that, because at the end of the day, you spend months on honing your craft, and then when you release it, it's a bit nerve-wracking. But when it comes to releasing everything in front of these teenagers, I kind of feel like a bit of an older sister.
Yeah.
In a way, I don't feel so much as like they're looking up to me as this big idol, because there's no way I'm in that circumstance whatsoever. It feels more of like I'm a bit of an older sister, and if I can help with any sort of minor wisdom that I have, I will do so.
Yeah, no, I think that's really fun. I guess, you know, talking of the impression that you make on people and those collaborations we were mentioning earlier, how do you make sure when you have opportunities like, you know, as I said, performing for The Voice, and you also have a lengthy list of people, you know, like Delta Goodrum, Andy Whitmore that you've worked with in the past, you know, how do you make sure that when you work with those people, you know, stand out without inadvertently being obnoxious?
Studying a few business courses and things like that, what you're asking out of someone, you've got to always give something back. At the end of the day, if you were to go up to, say, I don't know, an ice cream man, and you turn around and say, please, 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 can you give me a vanilla ice cream cone, but I'm not going to pay you. They're going to be quite upset about that. They're going to be like, no, please go away. Like, but if you turn around and say, hey, I don't have any money to pay you, however, I'm willing to go give out 50 of your flyers at Market Street or something in exchange for one ice cream cone. That's, both of you are getting something out of that at the end of the day. And that's probably the best way. And once you have secured a deal like that, you just have to try your hardest. And at the end of the day, trying your hardest is the best that you can do.
Yeah, no, I really like that analogy. I think that's a lot of fun. And also, you know, maybe new job opportunity for me. Head down to the ice cream man, Yeah. Handing those flyers out. I guess the other thing that I wanted to talk about with, talking on the collaboration front and making good impressions with people is how to draw the most out of a collaboration. Because we were touching on that feedback and working with Chris Arnott on SOS, you know, how do you make sure when you're collaborating with people that you are able to kind of get in sync? Because I think that a lot of musicians talk a lot about the vibe in a room and that feeling when you're putting music together. But is there anything kind of more clinical about it to make sure that you, when you approach a collaboration environment, come away with the best results? What's the prep for that?
2 points on that. One, people probably won't like the answer to, which will be a bit
That's the one I'm looking for. Let's hear it.
For myself, for the past 2.5 years, I wrote with as many different producers as possible. And it just means getting out of your comfort zone and learning how to communicate with people. And it's a bit daunting for some, but once you get to like maybe 6th, 7th producer that you've written with, you kind of go, okay, I'm not as uncomfy anymore. And if the other point is, if you are still a bit uncomfy, just prepare beforehand. If you kind of go, okay, I'm going into this this production session and I don't know what's going to go on, I'm a bit nervous, even for people in their first time writing with producers, just come prepared. Even if you don't play an instrument or something like that, come with a reference track or write a poem, write some lyrics. If you like a movie or something and you like the storyline in the movie, mess around with it. Imagine from a different perspective from one of the characters in the movie and just write it down. So then at least when you go into the session, you're not absolutely stuck and bewildered, and then you get that awkward atmosphere and that's why you feel like you're not gelling. The more characters you write with, the more you're going to gel with them.
It sounds like a lot of the tricks that I hear people who do both improv music and improv stage work use, you know, having essentially prompts that you've pre-prepared for yourself and having things that are just in the toolkit ready to go, because, you know, you never know when the silence is going to strike and you have to be the one to suddenly break it, right? So having those things at the back of your mind ready to go, I can imagine being so useful in that circumstance.
Yeah.
I guess the last thing I wanted to touch on before we leave is looking at a multimedia career in the arts. You know, we've mentioned all of these collaborators. How much do you feel you need to know as a musician about everything to do with what being a musician involves? You know, do you need to know how to run your own social media? Do you need to know how to produce your own videos? Do you need to have all of the contacts? Or is it just more important to like know the right people? What's the right balance for you?
You set off into the music industry as an independent artist. It's like running through a jungle. Sometimes you're going to get lucky and you might find another human in there that wants to help you. But half of the time you're going to come across some snakes or a tiger or something that aren't trying to help you. So at the end of the day, you may not enjoy photography or videography or something like that, but the more you know, this sounds really bad, the more you know, the less likely you are going to get screwed over. If you know how to take a photo, if you know how to record a video, when you go and have a music video shot, you can actually talk to the videographer, cinematographer and say, hey, I'm actually really wanting an aerial shot, or I don't really like the color grading on this edit. Can you please try to fix that, change it up a little bit, then you're more likely to get what you want. You're less likely to get screwed over or, like, worse, get, like, charged way too much for something that you could have either done yourself or they shouldn't have charged you that much for such a tiny project. So the tip is probably just study up things that surround anything to do with being a musician. So say, rather than paying $300 for a day for a makeup artist, go learn yourself. If you don't want to pay for a course, go look at YouTube. You just got to drive ahead yourself. At the end of the day, the more you know, the less you have to rely on other people.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting, because there definitely is that flip side to collaboration where sometimes people just aren't there with your best interests at heart. And it's better to kind of know when that's happening, even if it does take a little bit more work in things that you're not necessarily as passionate about. We are partnered with the councils here, City of Ryden, Lane Cove Council, and they have artist registers up if you want to go submit yourself to that, which not only helps the councils get in touch with you for things, but also helps you find collaborators that maybe aren't going to be the ones without your best interests makes it hard. You know, find the right people to work with. You are listening to Get Gig Ready, Tamsin. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been fascinating talking with you, and congrats again on the win for SOS in the International Songwriting Competition.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. It was really fun. It's actually really cool. You asked some really, really interesting questions.
I try my best. You are listening to Get Gig Ready, brought to you by City of Riot, Lane Cove Council, Macquarie University, the Live Music Office, and Music New South Wales. Before we go, I did want to leave you with Tamsin's track SOS, which she did with Chris Arnott that we were talking about earlier. It's a wonderful Billie Eilish-style vibe, and I hope you'll enjoy it as much as I have been. We'll see you back here next time on Get Gig Ready.
I'm feeling shy, but I'll say what I like. You're not haunting my mind. Try to say goodbye. Is it hard to comply, or do you feel confined? We used to have it all, but I'm banging on the door. Now I can't bring myself to hang on so well. Nothing I can do. Don't waste my you. It's on you. It went from this SOS. I needed you. Just not in the mood. So careless. There's nothing else that I can do. It bores me when I look at you. We're too far gone. Don't know where we got lost, but it's time that we're done. Worrying no more. Through you close out the door. Now take your leave, pour for four. We used to have it all, but I'm banging on the door. Now I can't bring myself to hang on so well. Nothing I can do. Don't waste my you. It's on you. It went from this SOS. I needed you. But now I'm just not that I can do. It bores me when I look at you. 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 We went from midnight snacks to fighting in the morning. What have we done? We went from hand in hand to hurting one another just for fun. It went from this SOS. I needed you. But now I'm just not in the mood. So careless. There's nothing else that I can do. It bores me when I look at you. It bores me when I look at you. It bores me when I